Hello and welcome to Images, a public affairs program on KRWG that looks at the art, the flavor, the cultures, and the people of New Mexico. Hi, I'm Carrie Hamblin, the host of Images. Thanks for tuning in for an exploration into the hidden treasures of our area. If you were out and about last night for the first Friday downtown ramble in Las Cruces, you know that we have a large artist population here. Not only a large number of artists, but also people in the community who appreciate that talent. And coming up in 2 weeks, the second annual Las Cruces Arts Fair will be taking place, featuring 80 vendors from 10 states in the country. Last year, event organizers George and Maggie Griffin and Sally and Glenn Cutter got together to plan a big arts event, all for understanding how Las Cruces has the potential to be known for the quality of art here. With some minor tweaking, the event is back again this year, and on our program today to talk about it are Glenn Cutter and local artist Rosemary McLaughlin. Glenn and Sally Cutter are known throughout Las Cruces as pillars in the community, supporting noble causes and being strong advocates for the arts. Rosemary McLaughlin, with her bright, vibrant colors and her paintings, has lived in the Mesilla area since 1975, drawn here by forces unknown to her. Rosemary is a return participant in the Las Cruces Arts Fair, but is no stranger to shows. Her paintings are tributes to the many people who have touched her life. However, you will most likely find at least one cat, her favorite animal, in each of her paintings. Rosemary says the ideas she comes up with for her paintings come to her in her daily life.
I write in my journal all the time, so I have all these ideas, and sometimes I find them 10 years later and do them. So there are these little bits of things that I remember or move me emotionally, or I hear, like the Wild Onion Women was a story that Ann Anderson told when I belonged briefly to the Storytellers, and Ann Anderson told that story. And I loved the story, and I saw it, for years, but it took me 10 years, and it was my first show at Glenn's that I did that painting for my first show at Glenn's.
I remember that.
So,
well, with that, Rosemary, you put so much, and you can always feel it, and just because I've known you personally for years, but also just seeing your paintings, I wonder, is it hard for you to sell them because you put so much into them?
It used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, it was. Now that I have them on disc, you know, and slides, I have that. Although I do have a few family pieces that I'll keep.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, Rosemary, you've been a part of the Las Cruces Arts Fair from the beginning. Now, as a vendor, as an artist that will be showing, and Glenn, you know, kind of one of the persons who created this idea. Although you're not alone, and we'll talk about that. I'm wondering, what were some of the highlights, you know, from your perspective, Rosemary, as an artist, but then Glenn also as one of this team of organizers. This was a first. There's a big deal last year.
It really was.
And so what did you think were some of the highlights that were very proud moments for you?
Well, this year we reap the benefits of what we did last year, because when we travel to shows to attract artists to come, we're interested in upping the quality of art. And so we're always looking for some of these people who rejected us our first year, because some people simply did not do first year shows because they don't want to take the risk. And the great feeling of satisfaction came this year when we went to art shows outside of this region a little bit, and we said to them, we're with the Las Cruces Arts Fair, and we're interested in talking to you about being a part of our show. And they, we've heard so many wonderful things about your show. We heard it was the best first-year art show in the region in the last decades, and that you treated the artists so well, and it made us feel so good. So we had no problem this year because of the groundwork that we had done in the previous year. And all the artists, and these are artists who were not part of the show last year, but they heard from other artists that we treated them very well and that they had a financially successful show too. Mm-hmm. That's important, as you might well imagine. So it was very gratifying.
Well, Rosie, I mean, not only do you have, you know, a wonderful relationship with Glenn, but as an artist, though, from your perspective, I mean, and I know that there were plenty of opportunities to talk with other artists who were there. What was kind of the energy that you were experiencing there?
Well, first of all, before anything, I have to say that just even initially being part of this, it was organized so beautifully, and everyone was so helpful. Glenn, Sally, Maggie, George. I had so many questions for George. I was always bugging him, and he was just so kind. And they took care of needs. And then the atmosphere was so wonderful. We knew we were being taken care of. And it was just, and I think everybody felt that. The other vendors, that was one of the biggest things that I heard. I mean, besides the quality of the work was very nice. The energy was wonderful. But people felt really taken care of.
Well, I think that when artists get together, especially if you see somebody's work who's just, you know, something that you would want for your own collection. I know that sometimes swapping happens. Did you acquire new artwork?
Oh, yes. I was thrilled. I was thrilled when someone asked if we could trade. Oh, because I love, you know who I mean.
Well, can you describe what you got out of that trade?
It's Serena, wasn't it? Serena who does these
Serena Man. The flying spirits.
They're so wonderful. And I had seen her walking around. I didn't know who she was, but she was so darling looking. And then when I saw her booth, she looks like her booth, and they're these wonderful. They're spirits. They're wonderful. And they're fairies and creatures of different cultures. And she is just like them. And she came by my booth, and she said, "When I saw this, I felt that we had like spirits." Mm-hmm. I was so thrilled. And then she asked if I wanted to trade. Oh, my gosh.
And yes. She'll be back this year, by the way.
Well, I'm so happy. Yes. I'm so happy.
Well, you know, given that, you know, I mean, there are four key players. I mean, there are certainly other people. We were talking before we started recording, David Salcido with the Rio Grande Theater, helping out with a lot of publicity. But when we look at this, there's you. Then there's Sally, your wife, and then George and Maggie Griffin.
Yes, and George and Maggie they're the glue. I mean, really, they have, through the year, they have kept everything together, and they deserve an immense amount of credit for all the work they've done. Sally and I come in late because Sally does the marketing, and I don't do all that much. I do what Sally tells me to do, and George and Maggie tell me what to do.
Perfect.
But I'm very pleased to be a part of it.
And so with that, I mean, when we've talked about this before, really it was the idea from you just in terms of knowing how many people we have in the arts community, but also knowing how many people we have in this region that do really just high quality work. And so if you can kind of give a background on, you know, how this idea started.
Well, George and I talked about the fact that we thought it would be good if the Arts Council had an additional event, because they do the Renaissance Fair and a great job with it. But having the convention center was such a temptation. And George and I talked about it several times and finally decided, let's just do this. Let's put this thing together. And George was and is on the board and thought that it would be very good for the Arts Council to have an opposite calendar event from the Renaissance Fair, because one event a year is nice, but two can be better. And it does provide some income, and the money is very well used by the Arts Council, Rio Grande Theater being part of that. And so it serves the community well, and we just thought it would be a good idea. So we visited a lot of other arts fairs and events and talked about artists and as I said earlier, the response from this year was far easier. We have quite a few more artists this year.
Well, with this, I mean, I'm wondering the logistics that came into play, just because of the talents of each of the four of you. Really, it was just kind of this nice divine coming together of different skill sets. And so when you came up with the idea for the arts fair, did it seem like everything automatically fell into place? Like Maggie and George would do their thing, they would do the contacts, Sally would do the publicity, you would kind of keep the vision on the forefront?
Yes, to some degree. But I mean, George and Maggie are so good at organizing that they really keep it together. And then Sally, as I said, comes in later to do the marketing, puts all that together, which she has done again this year. It's just worked out very well. But we have so many wonderful volunteers. I mean, there's the load in and the load out and the volunteers to booth sit and to run the children's program and to do the demonstrations. And we have there's a lot going on. It's not just a come and see the artists in their booths. There are other events going on at the same time. So it's a great event.
Well, as an organizer of an event, kind of along those lines, I mean, I understand the logistics that come into play, and this is really not something that you can throw together in 2 months.
No.
And so with this, I mean, in addition to making sure that you have enough volunteers on staff, I'm wondering, working with the convention center, making sure that space is going, mapping out the space, I mean, how did you work on all of those things?
That's pretty easy. That part of it isn't that difficult, really. I mean, if you have a vision, which the four of us have a vision of what it ought to look like. So the most rewarding part is to sit down at the end and decide who's going to be in what booth and hope that they're happy when they get there. They may or may not be, but we'll take care of that when they get there. We have a very good system for them selecting the booths they want to be. We have a little structure and price that if you want to be on a corner or if you want a double booth, it costs a little more. And
And artists know these things in particular. Like a corner booth is a really good booth.
Yes. Some of them don't care. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get all kinds. Some people simply don't care. Some people insist that they have a double corner booth. Some want a corner booth. But there are plenty of people who are just in the middle in a booth who are very happy to be there, and they don't care where you put them. So it's interesting.
Well, Rosie, as an artist there at the event, I mean, you know a ton of people in town, but I'm sure the highlight for you is also meeting these new folks from coming out of town.
Yes, yes. I love the social part of it. Both people looking at, you know, at all the booths and the other artists. It's so nice to have a break, and people did come and sit our booth so we could get around and see, meet other people. And yes, that's a big thing for me, is the socializing of it, yes.
Well, with that, when you have participated in other fairs in past years, I'm wondering, what do you think makes this stand out than from the other experiences, or makes it different?
Well, I don't do this very much, Carrie. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done the Renaissance Fair way back.
Right, that's
when
what I'm
it was
thinking.
On the downtown mall, and then at Young, first couple of years at Young Park. So I really don't do this very much. So for me, it's a big thing to make this decision, you know, to be part of it, and because So much is taken care of by this wonderful group that organizes it. And then all the fun of being with the other artists, seeing people's work, being inspired by people's work, talking to them. This is what I loved last year. And I did make some money, too. So all of it, for me, was a very positive feeling. Does that answer your question?
It does answer my question. Our guest today on Images are artist Rosemary McLaughlin and one of the organizers of the Las Cruces Arts Fair, Glenn Cutter. Well, we've just in terms of the amount of artists who have applied to be a part of this, according to the press information, over 170 artists applied, but you have booth spaces for roughly around 80.
Right.
And so it seems that given that you've talked about more people are becoming aware of the arts fair, what's kind of the range of how far this is spreading?
Well, this year we have artists from 10 states. We have someone from New England. We have someone from Oregon and then several places in between, obviously. So the word is out that we have a good show and that it's one that artists have enjoyed being in, and so we have quite a wide range. We have 19 New Mexico artists out of the 80.
That's a good representation.
Well, it is a good representation, but it also means to those coming to the fair that they're going to see work that they haven't seen before, and I think that's an important element. It keeps it fresh. We have some returning artists, but we have a lot of people who've never been here before and will be coming through the door for the first time, so...
Well, with that, were you expecting that many people to apply?
Yes, I was.
Were you expecting more?
I think it's about what I expected. I thought we'd be around a couple hundred.
And so what happens if you start outgrowing this?
Well,
I mean, it kind of looks like that's where you're going. Are you going to keep it capped at 80?
We're trying to keep it. I think I like the size that we have this year. We're using the hallway, the grand hall, this year. We're not using both rooms. We only use the exhibit hall. But we, but this year we're using booths down the grand hall. So there'll be it'll be a little different entrance. There'll be artists as soon as they come through the front door. And then the hall itself holds about 70 artists. So, but we'll have about 80 total. In addition to that, we have the metals class in New Mexico State. They'll be the first, one of the first booths there. And they did very well last year, and we expect that they will again. And they're fun to have around. So
these are the students in the
students.
Julia Borello's metals.
Julia's, yes. And they're fun to have around.
Well, Glenn, when you've gone around to other arts fairs, have you seen like things that you're like, oh, I think that would be good if we
absolutely.
And so what are some of those things?
Well, we're always looking for good art. I mean, the basis of a good art show is to have great artists. And so we talk to, and one of my speeches is, look, we're here, you have 200 people in this show, we're going to talk to probably 15 that are in this show. 15 people that we truly want to be in. We're not handing these brochures out to every booth in this show. We're not trying to build a bigger show. We're trying to build a better show. And that's been our focus. So I think people will see lots of variety. They'll see painting, sculpture, glass. They're going to see all kinds of things. There'll be textile. There's everything.
Now, do you have a checklist of, like, you want a certain amount representing one area, another amount representing another, or, I mean, to try and kind of balance that out?
Well, we do have categories that they apply in, but really, we're just looking for good, not necessarily to cover every single base. So we don't put somebody in because if we didn't have any sculptors, we had very few last year. If we didn't have any, we just wouldn't have any if they didn't meet our standards. We have judges. It's a juried show. Mm-hmm. And the judges, actually some of the people who were in the show last year aren't coming back because they weren't rated high enough by the judges. So that can happen too. That's unfortunate, but hey,
that's an art show.
Can't have everybody.
Well, so when you go to these other art shows and you start, making these personal connections with people, what do you see as a representation of the arts fair itself, but also of Las Cruces? Because this is really something that you're introducing people to our area, maybe for the first time.
Often we are, and it's people say, I understand that you have a thriving art community. That's one of the things we heard this year. I mean, I think that we're in a position, and I've been hesitant to say it for a long time, but I think we're really starting to break through as an art community. And it's taken us a while, but I think we're on the precipice of something much bigger. I mean, Santa Fe can't have all the action.
Well, Rose, you've been part of this community for a long time. I mean, what have you seen as really kind of this really just solid growth of our community in
well,
the arts?
Carrie, my friends are going to, they're tired of hearing me say this, but when I came and I was only going to be here for a short time, I had a feeling, even though there were not the venues, I just had a feeling that this was a place for artists. And so I had to make a decision after I left, finished graduate school. Am I going to go back to my job in Memphis? What am I going to do now? And I thought, nope, in 20 years, this is going to be a great art center, and I don't want to be gone when it happens. I just had a feeling about it that it was going to grow, and I feel so fortunate that, yes, I've seen it. I've seen it grow, and I have been sort of a part of it, and I've seen people leave and come back.
So what have you seen, though? I mean, I know that just in terms of the galleries, I've seen, quite a few more painters coming into the community. What does that, as also a painter, what does that do for the community?
Oh, I think the more there is, the more we're inspired. I think we support each other because when one person does better, everybody does better. So I love to see. I think the artists here are productive. They're hardworking. They have passion about their work, and I admire that so much. It's a very hardworking art community.
Well, with this, once the fair ended last year, You know, I think it's typical to kind of debrief about what happened. And so what came out of your debriefing session?
Well, we felt good about it immediately because we had such a good response. And there were some things that we changed, but not very much, really. We had a pretty good plan going in. We were very helped by the Weems Art Fest in Albuquerque. Those people, when we decided to do ours, we called them and we talked to them and asked them questions because they've been going on for, I forget how many years, 30 or 40 years, and they were very helpful to us. So we were able to use them as a model and then to modify it. One of the things they did tell us, though, was if you have it in the spring, you will absolutely fail. And we didn't agree with them. But they've always done theirs in November, and it's sort of a Christmassy show. But we, you know, art isn't seasonal.
No, and we already have a lot of things that are already established in November. Yeah. Yes. You really kind of can't.
But that's the only bad advice we got from them. Everything else they gave us was quite good.
And so given the success of it being last spring and again this spring, I mean, you've kind of proven that point just a little bit.
Yeah, and there's lots of good reasons for that. One is that there are not a lot of competing events in the spring because a lot of people feel like they did, that it's not a good time. On the other hand, the artists need something. And these people who are doing these fairs, they're glad to have an event. And also, our lovely convention center is an indoor facility that really works well. So we can put it in the middle of March and not worry about the wind.
Right, absolutely. Our guest today on Images is one of the organizers of the Las Cruces Arts Fair, Glenn Cutter, and local artist Rosemary McLaughlin. Well, I'm wondering, so with the 80 artists that you've got involved in the event, and certainly there's a long list through the publicity that Sally's provided of a variety of artists, and many of the descriptions are of people who are coming from out of town. What do you expect or visualize, you know, because you have this, you're a visual type of fellow. What do you expect people to experience when they walk in the doors at the convention center?
Well, last year, people said it was the best thing they'd ever seen in our region. And I think this year that they'll feel that way again. I think they're going to get a great visual experience. But I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a beautiful show. It's a nice way to spend the weekend. I'm going to be there the entire time.
Of course you are.
It'll be a lot of fun. We have children's activities. People can leave their children for those activities while they look in the show. They're well supervised. That's very well organized, highly organized. There'll be demonstrations by some of the artists. And we have Friday night at 6 o'clock, we have a gala. And all that money goes to the Arts Council. So that we'd love to have a big crowd for that. And it'll be the first look that people will have to look at the art.
Well, Rosemary, how are you planning? Because, I mean, we every time I see you, I mean, I adoringly joke about, you know, paintings still kind of being just touched up. Because I mean, that's an adorable quality that we love about you. But what are you planning for this event?
Well, I'm doing smaller things. Mm-hmm. I have gone back into my sketchbooks from my semester in Italy, my little sketches there, and I'm redoing them. I'm doing them in ink and watercolor, and they're fun to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm having a nice time doing that, and I have cards and prints, and I'm doing some smaller paintings, not oil, but small acrylic paintings on paper.
They'll dry faster?
They'll dry immediately. But I will have my oil paintings too. And I have a couple of painted chairs and a little cabinet. So that's a little different thing.
That's kind of new.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, I've done it for myself in my house, but not concentrating on it. So,
well, your house always looks like one of your paintings just kind of exploded all over the place. It's just all the color.
It's always exploding.
Right. Amongst the cats.
Yes.
Yes. So, well, how do you see this event? I mean, you know, knowing you were pretty confident, Glenn, that the event would be a success.
I was nervous, but
And so having it for a second year and having the demand from artists and also just the support of the community, I mean, it seems a pretty safe guess that this is probably going to continue on for quite some time.
Absolutely.
And so where do you see it going? I mean, we talked about, you know, maybe capping it, continuing to cap it, but do you see that this could be something that would really kind of model after the Renaissance Fair with 160 vendors that they've, you know, normally had every year?
I don't think that anytime soon will be 160, but we certainly could be. I'm sure the convention center would love for us to take the ballroom and add to it. But I just, the big thing is if we had 400 or 500 applicants, then I'd feel comfortable that we'd go to 160. But with, I think it's more important to keep the quality than to make it bigger. I mean, we'd make more money if we made it bigger, but we want to provide a quality event for the people who come. I mean, they're going to pay $5 to get in, and we want to make sure that they have a good experience while they're there in terms of quality. So I think they'll be happy to see the quality of work that's offered.
Well, Glenn Cutter and Rosemary McLaughlin, it's so nice talking to you. And this year I actually get to go to the Arts Fair.
Good.
I was out of town last year. So I'm really excited about seeing what you're putting together and what we've talked about today. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Carrie.
Glenn Cutter is one of the organizers of the upcoming second annual Las Cruces Arts Fair, taking place March 16th through the 18th at the Las Cruces Convention Center. Rosemary McLaughlin is a local artist, and her work will be featured at the fair as well. The Arts Fair weekend kicks off with a VIP gala on Friday night from 6 to 9 o'clock, where attendees will get an early look at the art. Tickets are available for that event. Then Saturday, the hours of the Arts Fair will be from 10 to 6 p.m. and on Sunday, 10 to 5 p.m. There is a small admission fee for the Saturday and Sunday events. More information can be found by going to their website, las-cruces-arts.org. Coming up, Images gardening expert Jackie Minicky says even though the weather may be a bit blustery right now, there are still things that we need to do in our garden.
Some days may be sunny and congenial. The next day could blow in all bluster and chill. March is like a bipolar friend, all joy and sunshine one day and all blue and dour the next. On the windy or chilly days, we can bake cookies and catch up on paperwork. Then when sunny days arrive, we can scoot outside to spend the day in the garden. Each day looks more like spring as our plants go from brown sticks to billows of spring green leaves. Bradford pears cover themselves with white blossoms. Ornamental plums blush pink. Fruit trees fluff out in pink and white. Only our desert trees, mesquites, and desert willows seem reluctant to leaf out at this time of year. Of course, they reflect centuries of wisdom. They don't want to waste the energy of creating new growth after a late freeze, which invariably occurs in March or April. Pansies bloom with abandon in the face of turbulent spring weather. Yellow daffodils shout spring has arrived, while poppies and larkspur are springing up to bring the next round of color to the garden. Penstemons shoot up their long, slender stems with bright pink and red buds. They will be blooming by mid-March, just in time to feed the hungry hummingbirds arriving in our gardens. Sadly, not every plant growing vigorously and brightly is a good one. Mustard, hensbit, and annual grasses are very green and lush. We must get out and remove some of these weeds, especially the mustard. I have to admit, I'm a bit more forgiving of weeds such as hensbit, which has a beautiful purple flower, and annual grasses that are dainty and ephemeral, as well as green. Our thirsty gardens crave a drink these days. We've had no rain for weeks. Creating new leaves and blossoms requires lots of energy, which requires water. Gardeners must get back into their irrigation routines for new and established plants. If we want our annual flowers to come up, we must water regularly. Birds fill the garden with cheery chatter. It's mating and nest-building season. Now is the time to put out nesting materials and extra food. Be sure to place net or protective cloth over the vegetable garden. Birds just love tender, fresh greens and can wipe out a vegetable bed in a few hours. Don't forget to fill the bird bath. Watching a robin dance around in the water is better than a hit sitcom. I treasure sitting in the garden to watch birds carrying sticks, grasses, and other materials to trees and shrubs to create nests. They are so happily industrious. Obviously, not all my time in the garden is spent working. I do spend quite a bit of time just sunning and observing the other garden residents.
Jackie Minicky comes our way via Enchanted Gardens. If you'd like to hear this program again or others, you can find them all on our new website, krwg.org. Find the radio button on the menu bar across the top, and in the drop-down menu, you will see images. Click on that, and you will find this program and others there for you to listen to on your computer or as a podcast. I'm Carrie Hamblin. Thanks for tuning in tonight. I hope you enjoyed the program and that you'll tune in again next week at 5:30 for another Images, right before a Prairie Home Companion on 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces.